Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. Hi, my fellow Americans. You are locked on to Liberty Roundtable for October 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2008. Our goal is to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers using the supreme law of the land. Even the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, all taking on bureaucrats. With news the networks refuse to use everywhere we go, here's the bureaucrats on the economy.
Wall Street calms down, but stock prices slide.
Now, what do they mean Wall Street calms down? It's continuing to drop. It's just not dropping like 500 or 1,000 points. It's only dropping like 200 or 300. Calming down? What are they talking about? You're losing wealth every day, ladies and gentlemen. It goes down and up and down and up. But have you noticed the ups aren't as up as the first ups and the downs are more down than the last downs? Huh. Is that understandable, Kurt? Every time it goes up, it goes up less. And every time it goes down more and... You know, it's not at its low, it's up, but yet it's down, right?
Well, I heard somebody saying it the opposite way yesterday, Sam. They were saying, well, if you notice, it's not going as far down, but it's going more up, you know?
Yeah.
But it all depends on, you know, what guy you listen to.
And where your reference point is.
Yeah.
But here's what I know.
Where you're talking about.
You ready for what I know?
Yep.
People have less wealth than they had a month ago, than they had 2 months ago, than they had 6 months ago, than they had a year ago. It goes on and on and on. So yeah. I agree we're not at our bottom. We're on kind of a dead cat rally bounce, whatever term you want to call the thing. But all I'm telling you is overall we're down. You have less wealth in your 401k or your stocks than you had before, that's for sure.
Correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
There was selling yesterday on Wall Street, but not panic selling. Says.
Yeah, so it's not the panic kind, Kurt. It's just the loss kind. You know, no one's panicked anymore. They've realized their wealth is already gone, and they're just going, groan. But the more the government tampers at the market, the less, you know, damage can be done in the short term anyway, right?
Yeah.
Right? If the government just controls every aspect.
Well, yeah, then, you know, I mean, it's like a casino game that, you know, that you're only going to lose a certain amount.
And yeah,
then you're
and they don't want you to lose it too fast because you'll panic.
Yeah. Right.
So they're going to make sure that you lose it slow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's Gordon Charlop at Rosenblatt Securities.
Which I think is good. You know, the calming of the market is something that's just in everybody's best interest.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average followed Monday's nearly 5% gain with a 2.5% loss.
Yeah, 5% gain, 2.5% loss, then more and more and more, you know, up, down, up, down, up, down. Overall, we're down what? Still 36, 37% on the Dow Jones in the marketplace? At least?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. That's up, sounds like to me.
It's falling 231 points. Charlop says the market seems less emotional and more driven by numbers, which, in the case of profit projections from DuPont, Sun Microsystems, and Texas Instruments, don't look that good.
Yeah, they don't look that good. Now, I don't understand driven less by emotion and more by numbers. Like what numbers? Down numbers? Less money? A fleecing of the wealth or what? Huh, numbers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought the market was driven by the free marketplace.
Yeah.
By, you know, reality between supply and demand. Nah, whole wishful thinking, huh?
Warren Levinson, New York.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says the current financial challenges facing the country will persist for a number of months.
Yeah, it'll persist forever and get worse and compound and eventually be a complete meltdown if they don't get back on honest money.
Yep.
Right, Henry? Right, Hanky Panky, got it? That's how it works.
But he says the economy will rebound.
Our government will do what is necessary to significantly strengthen our banks and financial institutions, enabling them to increase financing for the consumption and business investments that drive U.S. economic growth.
The government will do everything they can to ensure increased financing, increased debt, increased credit, increased borrowing. And they'll do everything possible. And what that really means is for the first time, the government says, we will go down if we have to. You know, this is kind of code language. We'll go down if we have to make sure the economy stays supposedly solvent. Interesting indeed. Quick pause. You're locked on to Liberty Roundtable. More news the networks refuse to use coming your way on your radio.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the Accent Radio Network or the staff, management, and sponsors of this radio station.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. Hi, my fellow Americans. Happy to have you along. This is Liberty Roundtable for October 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2008. And we're using the supreme law of the land, even the Constitution for the United States of America as we promote God, family, and country. Wow, man. The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, all going head-to-head with bureaucrats for our freedom. It's crazy, and it's happening everywhere. And there is good news, folks. Good people, honest people, wise people are making a difference. Oh, did you know the Fed has decided that, your mutual funds might not be okay, Kurt?
Uh-huh.
And so where they got the authority, that's debatable. But they just decided to put $540 billion into protecting mutual funds.
All right.
And I find that interesting because, they did a $700 billion bailout, right?
Yeah.
They told you they spent $125 plus billion on the first 9 banks, right? Then they told you they did $540 billion for mutual funds. Aren't they out of bills?
Yeah. Well, it seems like they've got the printers going.
And it's fascinating how for certain monies they have to get approval from Congress.
Yeah.
For other monies they just, no approval necessary. It's just like a blank check,
Yeah, it's the way they do it.
So $540 billion. So, Kurt, I'm just telling you, if they control every aspect of the economy, now what they need to do, since car dealers are tanking, they need a big old bailout bigger than the one they already gave for car dealers. They gave $25 billion. Not near enough. They got to go ahead and ten-quiple? Is that a word? Ten-tuple?
Yeah. Make it 10 times.
Yeah, that amount for the car dealers. I mean, we need at least $250 billion for those guys, don't you think? Now we're going to turn our sights. I mean, after all this, never mind that homeowners caused all this, right? The subprime kind?
Oh, yeah, those evil guys.
Remember back there when they told you that? Now they say, we better set our sights on helping the homeowner. So now they're looking for a huge amount of money. They're hoping $300 billion can pay for houses, keep people in their homes. Joe Biden and Barack Obama all jumping up and down thinking, hey, we want a 90-day moratorium on foreclosures. We'll just force banks to not foreclose on people who aren't paying their bills.
Yeah.
For 90 days. And, all I'm telling you is they just manipulate every aspect of this. If they go ahead and just start putting $5, $6, $7 grand a month in my checking account, Kurt, my financial crisis will be over.
Yeah.
It'll just be happening. All right, next in news, just thought I'd brief you on the economy first. Kurt Crosby went to court yesterday. How'd it go, sir?
Well, it wasn't a personal court case. I already got railroaded in that case. But this case was the case about the, we've had the people on the radio talking about their particular case where this gassingamerica.com is the website, so you can learn more about it. But they had their, big day to find out if they were going to have their child taken from them, and they were going to be put in jail, this husband and wife. And, I just wanted to be there to kind of see,
how many people turned
what
out?
What was going on? It was well attended. It could have, certainly, there could have been more. I mean, my personal feeling, they could have sure filled the courthouse and had the whole place surrounded by thousands of people, would have been my preference. But, compared to the earlier trials.
Why not millions? Why not
there,
just put together a million-man march for that dude?
Yeah, that's right. Or I would go million man and woman. It could have been a combined.
How about a million family march?
Yeah. But anyway, it was well attended compared to the earlier ones. In fact, the judge even commented, well, you've got your people here or something like that, but the...
these judges act like it's a mob versus mob mentality. He's like, hey, man, your mob is bigger than mine.
Yep. To make a long story short, it ended for me, the court case did, when the judge was, I guess you'd say, disapproving of my hand and, facial motions or whatever.
Kurt, you weren't
really
flipping people off, were you?
Anything. No.
Okay, good. Just want to make
but
sure.
But I just went and I just saw the, in my opinion, judicial misconduct, judges out of control, treating the people way different than I believe they should have been treated. I felt like when I was asked to leave before the case was over, I felt like...
Hold on, let's get before you were asked to leave part, though. So what was happening, though? They were basically, as I understand it, they were treating the mom with disrespect and basically rude.
At first, you know, the first part that always happens, and I don't agree with this, but, you know, the judge takes, to start the deal, he takes the prosecution side. In other words, the DCFS, that's the Division of Child and Family Services, lawyer slash representative,
which is kind of interesting because you got the government judging the government now, right?
Yes,
because there's no jury of your peers. See what I'm saying?
Yep. And so this attorney lady said that she felt that they should withdraw the contempt charges, and then the judge almost talked her out of it. Did the best he could to kind of talk her out of it, saying that, hey, I don't know if you ought to do that. And then family, you know, they said doesn't have a medical doctor. Later, that was not the case, that the family had just found a medical doctor that, you know, they want to talk to. And, you know.
Uh-oh, we lost Kurt Crosby. Are you there, Kurt?
They had the. Yes, I'm here.
You're dropping out. Keep going. Quit browsing the net. Go.
I'm not browsing the net. I'm just paying attention to my notes here.
You're doing good.
But the baby was healthy, and the mother was holding the baby and that kind of thing. Normally, the judge wouldn't allow children in there, you know. The lady, this attorney, said she didn't... believe the child should be assessed, or she believed that the child should be assessed, but she felt that the baby was healthy.
Now, let me stop you right there. She says that because she believes every single baby on the planet should be assessed by the bureaucrats.
Well, of course, Sam. I mean, this is the only way to be have them be safe and protected. You can't just look at the child and, you know, look at the eyes and ears and see how it's doing, crawling and doing all these things to know if it's really healthy. Later it came out that the judge wanted blood, you know. In other words, he wanted more blood tests and different things, you know. Then the judge began to, in my opinion, badger the mother. The mother said, I would prefer that my husband go ahead and speak, and the judge wouldn't have any of that. He wouldn't listen to what the mother wanted him to listen to. He wanted to hear, or she said was easy to understand, that she didn't want to really go over that, that she wanted her husband to go over that, and the judge wouldn't hear of that. You know, he treated her very poorly, in my opinion, not listening to what she had to say, and kept badgering, in my opinion, the witness. The judge asked, have you scheduled a genetic test at the hospital? And it came out that the genetic testing, you know, each little visit costs about $600. The judge was disappointed. Went on just from there, and yet, you know, continues to bother the people. He complained that he was continually interrupted by the father, and yet I saw the judge interrupt the father over and over. He could do the evil things that he accused them of, and yet, you know, no one stopped him, or no one did anything about that. And that's when I just had too much. You know, I just kind of built up for me. It was kind of a slow boiling pot. And I just finally said, you know, I mean, I just showed my disapproval. His line of sight was directly.
When you say his, you mean the judge?
Yes, the judge, as the judge looked at the family, then I was straight back from them. And so you know, I, for a long time, I didn't think he even noticed me. And yet, when he finally said, I want that guy out of here, then I figured he probably saw me. So,
yeah,
that was the...
And Kurt had to skedaddle so he didn't get tased.
Yeah, I just figured I'd get
so
out of there.
So, just so we make it clear, though, Kurt was not even talking. He was not interrupting. He wasn't saying anything. No. He just would shake his head when the judge would cut off the mother or interrupt the father and then complain that he was
That's
interrupted.
Right.
Kurt would shake his head or hit his head or make a weird face. Kind of like going, oh, man, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kurt was like a teenager in the court, man, out of control.
Well, I mean, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know?
Hey, haven't you been to these things before? These people are like black robe thugs. I'm telling you, they're out of control. Thank heavens in this case of victory. We'll get more details in seconds. The toll-free chime-in participation number, 866-222-2368. You are locked on to Liberty Roundtable.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down. They keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
We have good bacteria and bad bacteria in our GI tracts. When our bodies don't produce enough of the good bacteria, we have problems. You see, the good bacteria are responsible for fighting bacterial and fungal infections, or the bad guys. Yeah, we're setting ourselves up for a whole slew of complications if we let the bad bacteria get a foothold. How can we stop it? By taking Daniel Chapter 1's A and B Biotropins. A and B Biotropins not only keep the bad guys away, but also aids digestion and normalizes bowel function. God equipped our bodies with so many things to protect and to help us stay healthy. But now and then, our systems get off track, and that's where we need a little help. A and B Biotropins works from the inside out. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel when you have A and B Biotropins on your side. Visit your nearest Daniel Chapter 1 center and ask about A and B Biotropins. That's A and B Biotropins. Or call the Order Center at 1-800-504-5511, 800-504-5511.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
The live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby on your radio. This is Liberty Roundtable. Bureaucrats are out of control in the court, man. Kurt Crosby's making faces, slapping his head. I don't know if they kicked him out because of his gestures. None of them were obscene, of course. That you know, Kurt Crosby doesn't do that kind of stuff. And none of his movements or anything else were really distracting or anything. He was just like, I can't believe they're treating the mother this way. You know, I can't believe the judge is interrupting everybody, and that's fine, but if anybody interrupts him or tries to, you know, say what they want to say, they can't do it. They threw Kurt Crosby out. Now, Tom is with us, and Tom Rogers basically believes, hey, maybe he was part of the media. That's an interesting twist. Hi, Tom.
Howdy there, Sam.
Do you think it was that he was part of the media, or do you think it was his gestures?
You know what? If I were a judge and I recognized somebody that I'd seen from the media, I'd sure get him out of the courtroom at that point.
Yeah, because you can't have the light of truth on that sucker. No, sir.
Yeah, I was...
Was there any other media there?
I don't know. There were supposed to have been, but there... I mean, the room was pretty much full, and I didn't get to talk or learn of who all was in there.
All right. Now, even though you were helping the family, that you just had to sit there in silence, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only...
You can't have you talking in here.
The only persons that have spoken in that courtroom is the prosecution and then David and Mary.
All right,
David and Mary, of course,
are the family.
Are the defendants.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though. When you were there, do you agree with Kurt? Was the judge rude to the wife? Was the judge rude to the father? We lost Tom? All right. Well, hi, David.
Hi.
All right. Is your wife there?
Not here immediately.
Okay. I want to get her take real quick. Run down what you think happened then. Do you think they kicked Kurt out because he was part of the media? Or do you think it's just because they didn't like his facial expressions?
No, I didn't know because he was behind me. I didn't know who it was or anything. I just kind of, to me, it just seemed kind of contrived, you know. It just seemed bizarre. And so I just kind of assumed that. But now that Kurt has said he was,
yeah,
you know, making funny faces and
well, he wasn't just making funny faces to be distracting.
Showing his displeasure by body language, maybe the judge really did just throw him out for that. I was kind of thinking maybe the judge knew who he was as a national radio famous personality and just didn't want him in there because the judge wasn't sure how he was going to wrap things up and maybe didn't want to. A national radio talk personality.
They don't like those reporters, Dave, keeping track of what they're doing. That doesn't belong in here. See, that's how they think of things. So was the judge rude to you then, do you believe?
Well, you know, I think that it would be best for people to go to the website in a couple of days and listen to the audio court hearing for themselves.
Email me an MP3 as soon as it comes out. I want to cut out that part where they kick Kurt out of the courtroom. That's a player.
Yeah, you'll probably want to hear the whole thing because Kurt actually missed the best part.
Really?
It got a lot more exciting after he was thrown out.
All right, tell me what the exciting parts were, what actually went down.
Well, see, yesterday morning I prepared a brief. I wrote a brief, about a one-page long brief, that just absolutely nailed about every last nail into their coffin that you can think of. I mean, truth-wise, just... It was unconfoundable, followed by excerpts from a report from an honest doctor who had done an independent medical evaluation and declared him unequivocally to be completely, totally healthy, normal in every way, and no further testing was warranted whatsoever. You know, I thought after I read that, it took a while for me to be able to read that because the judge kept trying to get my wife.
Shut you down, sir.
He tried to shut me down, just like he did the last year, and you can hear that audio on the website. He was cutting me off left and right last time, because every time I tried to say something, it would make sense, you know, and it would make the other side look bad, and his side, because he had taken sides with the other side.
Now, let me give you a little tip real quick before we go on. When you say that audio, make sure it's on your website, not theirs. Don't point to it with a link, because they'll take it down and hose you. Make sure that you've got the audio, and make sure that it's backed up 66 ways from Sunday, or they'll make sure that it just vanishes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's how they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going. So what happened? How did it get wild and woolly after Kurt got kicked out?
So we're not on the air right now?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we are. Oh, I thought you said when we get on the air.
No, I'm saying that they'll basically steal it. They'll steal the audio from you and stuff.
No, we get our own.
No, we've been on the air this whole time. So then what happened after Kurt got kicked out that was rowdy?
Okay, well, after I read this, you know, I thought, well, that'll be it. You know, I mean, it was unconfoundable because last time at the previous hearing, you know, the judge was even admitting, along with the DCFS caseworker who was a new worker that's seen Daniel ever since June, ever since the first time he saw him, he's, he said to me, oh, he seems like a perfectly happy, healthy, normal baby to me. But, you know, he's indicated to me that other people were pulling his strings, et cetera. And even at the last hearing, the judge admitted, oh, he looks perfectly normal to me, but I'm not a doctor. See, at that point in time, they had a doctor saying things that they wanted him to say that helped them to keep us in bondage, you know. This time, we've got a doctor here saying that he's perfectly normal, healthy, and has no need whatsoever of any of these services they're asking for. But now they started saying, well, you know, we still think he needs this, and we still think he needs that. And we went around and around and around and around. And finally, I said, you know,
doctor, David.
I said, last time, you guys said he looks perfectly normal to us, but we're not a doctor. Now you've got a doctor telling you that he's perfectly normal and healthy and there's no further testing warranted. But now you guys are saying that you know more than the doctor about doctor thing, you know.
Bureaucrats are out of control. Like black robes, thank heavens there was a win in this case, but I'm convinced the media and a lot of people attending the court, bringing light of day into the mix, had a whole lot to do with it. Not that I want to take any credit. I'm just glad to be part of the solution. Dave and Tom with us. Sam and Kurt on your radio. Your calls at 866-222-2368. You are locked on to Liberty Roundtable. Dave Conrad with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Rogers with us as well. We're talking about the court case that took place in Manti, Utah yesterday. Why are we covering such a local case? Because it relates directly to saving kids, folks. We've talked to Greg Pound in Florida and many others about this very issue. And I personally believe, and I'm not trying to take credit for anything, or I'm just telling you, you bring the light of day on the subjects and them judges start to act proper, you know? I like it when they do that. So we want to make sure the media focuses on these things. We want to make sure courtrooms are packed when the bureaucrats are out of control. We want to make sure those black robes know there's more of us than there are them. And you know what? If we're vigilant, they simply have to obey the law. So, Dave, you were telling us about how the judge was just out of control. You gave them the fact that, hey, man, a doctor says this is all good. Then they started to act like they knew more than the doctors, right?
Yeah. And then they were... At the last there, they were pushing for, you know, the state-run early intervention program, and I had to argue against that, too. And finally, it boiled down to, you know, I said, Your Honor, you're an employee of the state. DCFS and their counsel is an employee of the state. Michael Jorgensen, the guardian ad litem, is an employee of the state. The early intervention program is a state-run program. The state has been involved in our lives for the past 8 months. I don't trust them. And, you know, Your Honor, you're saying that last time you ordered us to go and have an evaluation by them, and you said, well, if they say you don't need any of their services, fine. You don't have to have any services. But if they say you need their services, then you've got to do their services. And I said, well, Your Honor, that's like you ordering us to a state-run car lot and saying, if they say you don't need a car, then fine, you don't have to buy their car. But if they say you need a car, then you've got to buy their car, and then, of course, we're going to have to be involved in your life the whole time you're driving the car.
Dave, you need a car, Dave. Dave, you've
right.
got to have a car, Dave. We're
you
the government, we said so,
Dave.
You
find a person that's not going to find a reason for you to not need a car.
All right, now, let me ask you this, though. When you explained all this to him, did his face turn shades of green or what?
I really wasn't aware of his hue.
I mean, I'm just wondering how he took that stuff when you're that direct with him.
It seemed like he started loosening up towards the end. He was laughing, and you know, at some of the things I was saying, and kind of loosening up and just realizing, man.
He probably never experienced that before in his life.
We clobbered him over the head with the truth so hard. And then they were just still hanging on. I had to just keep pounding them over the head with the truth, and it was just unconfoundable, and they just couldn't deny it. And finally, he just had to close the case.
And what was your wife doing right now? Did she want to go over here and bust him in the nose or what?
No, she's a pretty mild-mannered wife. She often doesn't do those kinds of things.
I understand. So what was her take on this? Did she get a chance to speak? Because you know what? A lot of times the emotional plea of a mother can get a lot done, sir.
Well, you know... We talked about it beforehand because at our last hearing, you know, see, I'm the one that's been acting as the attorney for our family in this matter the whole time. And I'm the one that's, you know, been totally involved with it, and I'm familiar with the medical and legal aspects of it. But last time, the judge purposely, he'd go around, you know, to the DCFS and the guardian ad litem, and then he'd always go to my wife first to try to trip her up. And, you know, he didn't want to talk to me. This time, Mary and I discussed it before we went in, and I said, Mary, when he goes to you, just say, you know, my husband is acting as the attorney on behalf of our family. I'd like to refer that question to him.
But you're not an attorney, or you are?
No, I'm not. I was just,
you're not.
I've just been acting
understand.
As, you know, our own
yeah,
attorney.
Yeah, self-appointed. Understand. Okay.
But so she tried that a couple of times, and he just wouldn't let her off on it. He just, I want to hear from you, and he kept, you know.
Understand. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I just say the Constitution allows you to be your own defense.
Amen to that, and thank heavens for it, too, because you know what? Those folks that pass the bar have an obedience to the bar that can be damaged to many Americans.
And then finally, my wife took a very good approach. She just was silent. She didn't say anything, you know, kind of like Jesus did. And he
so he'd ask her something and she wouldn't say something?
Yeah. You know, finally she just was silent.
I'm surprised
he
didn't hold her in contempt.
So then he had to come to me.
Yeah, but I'm surprised he didn't say, I'll remove you from the courtroom or hold you in contempt or something
like
that.
Well, you know, I think that with a happy, healthy baby that's obvious for everyone to see and a doctor even saying that he felt that he couldn't be too heavy-handed, and we were counting on that.
Yeah, especially when that media is watching, because we'll just take that sucker national and we'll just come down on them and just tell the story, and they don't like that.
See,
all right, let me ask you this. What about
ahead.
This cordium ad litem? Or, I mean, this
guardian
ad litem. Who put that in place?
Oh, that's the biggest joke. That's like the fox guarding the hen house, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's an employee. He's an attorney. He's an employee of the state. He's like a business partner with DCFS and the judge. See, they all work together. DCFS brings the judge all of his cases to try on juvenile court day, and the judge just kind of goes along with whatever they want, wherever he can. They're his business partners. And the guardian ad litem is the same. He gets
bread and butter, baby.
He gets paid every time he turns around to have something to do with Daniel over the last 8 months, which has been totally unnecessary. But he gets paid every time he has to go to a meeting about him or, you know, come to drive to Manti for a hearing. He gets paid for it. So, you know, it's in all of their financial and career interests to have services and more services and pile on more services, whether they're needed or not. And to have the attitude that, hey, but here's the real kicker. I mean, here the government, an erroneous state inspection, carbon monoxide at our family, gassed our family, you know, could have killed our whole family. We're the ones that mitigated that, and if we were doing things their way, the DCFS and their, I call them their medical partners because they're all making money off of each other, are willing to just, even when they were apprised of the situation, they're willing to not acknowledge that and just send the family right back into the same poisonous, toxic environment to be further sickened or to die. Then they come along and they say, you guys are the incompetent ones. You need us.
Well, hold on. The reason that they're charging you with things above and beyond that is for several purposes. One, to strip you down to nothing so you don't have any ability to fight. Number two, they're hoping you'll focus on your family and not focus on this other issue. And, hey, that way the issue will be obliterated. But gassingamerica.com is still up, and Tom's going to continue the fight on that issue. Right, Tom?
Yeah, we have millions of families that are being harmed in the same way. Quite frankly, probably hundreds of thousands of children have been taken from families because the same situation like David, they want to blame the illness of the child, who is a more sensitive individual in this situation, upon the parents. And, of course, like David has described, you have DCFS, you have the AG, the Attorney General's Office, you have the guardian ad litem, you have this whole monstrosity, which includes the medical community. The medical community, which I used to be a part of, to me it's an embarrassment because it's now gone to bed with these baby stealers and family wreckers, and it's all about the profit. And
Tom, you told me that
families all across the United States harmed by this colorless, odorless, tasteless gas, and nobody does their homework. Nobody does the discovery.
GassingAmerica.com to learn more about that. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Tom, you bumped into a former employee at that hospital that told you that one-third of their business is referred to them through DCFS. And that's a huge amount of business. And when someone comes in like that under the gun of DCFS.
If you take your child to a pediatric hospital today, you're at risk of losing that child just simply because they want to blame a bruise or the injury or the illness of your child upon you. And so DCFS is in an evil marriage. It's an incestuous marriage, as far as I'm concerned, with the pediatric medicine. You've got to be so careful.
Oh, that's true. Here's what happened to me. My son had seizures, and it turned out they didn't know what caused it. It was a virus of some kind that caused it. Once the virus was, you know, gone or whatever, he hasn't had any problems since. But we went to Primary Children's Hospital because we were trying to find out what was wrong and everything. And when we got done, this was the interesting part. They treated me with respect and everything else. There was no real problems along the whole way. But when we got done, they wouldn't even let us leave the hospital. They actually had to walk us out to our car, watch us buckle our kid in our car. I mean, it was just out of control, and it just shows they believe they have control of your children.
And see, here's the thing, Sam, about this case. See, for 8 months, we have been refusing to do any of the things they've been telling us to do. And had we done those things, for example, they wanted us to get him into early intervention, you know, 8 months ago, which is a state-run program for physical and mental handicapped kids. Had we done that, had we been like most people and just rolled over and had we put him in that program, then they could now say, oh, the reason your baby is doing so well now is because we had to force these irresponsible parents into this program that he needed. Whereas now we can, it's obvious for everyone to see that he's been a happy, healthy baby for several months now based on the simple treatment of simply not breathing any more carbon monoxide.
Now, call me a conspiracy theorist, call me what you like, but you stay in that county that you're in, and trust you me, they'll look for sweet revenge, sir.
Well, Sam, that's okay. We like it here, and we're not letting them chase us off.
All right, good for you. What do you say, Tom? Final thoughts?
Well, you know, the sad thing was the judge tried to say David was going for a big lawsuit. He was also telling the audience or the court that David was there intent to destroy the career of this doctor who was in bed with him. I got to tell you a fact. 3 days into this fight, 3 days into this experience with David and Mary, I saw David, Mary, and the baby. I knew from my experience in pediatric medicine that this family had been poisoned. It was an environmental poisoning, and I didn't know exactly that day what it was. Well, the next day, first thing in the morning, I called this Dr. Armstrong down there in Manti, and I said, Dr. Armstrong, I've seen the family, and my sense is, with my experience in pathology, this family's been poisoned. Please have a toxicology series done on that. You know, he kind of wagged his head on the phone. I know you can't see somebody wagging their head, but, you know, he was patronizing to me. I went up to the legislature after that phone call, and the spirit told me that that was going nowhere. So I contacted David's representative, Bradley Wynn, and then a little later his Senator Darren Peterson, and I told him, I said, I called the doctor. I believe this family's been poisoned, the whole family. The parents look bad, the baby as well as the baby. But the hospital was just, you know, treating or diagnosing the baby. That at lunchtime at the legislature, I felt so uncomfortable. You know, I went back to the hospital where David and Mary were, and I went to the attending physician, Sarah Lamb, and I said, Sarah, this family's been poisoned. Do a toxicology series on them. And I, at that point, said, including carboxyhemoglobin. That's a carbon monoxide diagnosis. She looked at me with a deadpan look, and I know that look when I've talked to my fellows in medicine. That means, oh, yeah, right. And so I walked away from that hospital. I went back up to the legislature for the afternoon session, and I again petitioned Bradley Wynn, Representative Bradley Wynn, and later in the day, Darren Peterson again. By the way, Bradley Wynn reported that he'd called the doctor, and the doctor didn't even honor him with a return call. He'd call left a voicemail. Same thing with Darren Peterson. And what's really interesting, both of those men who represent the families of that district have backed out of this thing. And we believe that there's been political force put upon them to shut up and go away, because they at first were supporting me in this battle. Then all of a sudden, they disappeared from the battle. The medical profession in this state, IHC, Primary Children's Hospital, as far as I'm concerned, has taken the path into darkness, because they're willing to do medical procedures that don't find the real problem, especially carbon monoxide poisoning.
And they're doing it all for money. They're doing it all for cover-up. And it's not only this state. It's all states in the union, sadly enough. We've got a serious issue here. Anyway, I appreciate it, guys. GassingAmerica.com is the website. DanielInTheLionsDen.com.us. DanielInTheLionsDen.us is the other site. Get me the audio as soon as you can, guys, and keep me up to date if anything else changes, will you?
Sam, let me say one more thing.
Okay.
They accused David of trying to harm the career of this doctor, Robert Armstrong, down there. I'm going to tell the truth. He harmed his own career when he decided to act against the hypocritical oath and to walk into that pathway of deceit when he denied this family proper diagnosis, and by so doing took them down a path of nonsense. It's not David harming that doctor. The doctor chose to go to bed with these liars and thieves who steal children. And then they say, for the good of the children, please don't make me puke. If you had the welfare of the child, you would do everything you could. That doctor never sent anybody to David's house to make sure that what I was telling him was true or not. See, at least a man of honor in medicine will challenge you. You say, well, okay, that's an idea. We better pursue it. They never did. They sent that family back to the house. And if I hadn't been there, they would have poisoned that family again. And that's the sad thing about medicine and law and government. They've gone to bed with the money and the corruption, and it's killing families. So I'm begging every family across the United States, if you live in a manufactured or modular home or a trailer mobile home, you better be aware that you're being poisoned. And no doctor can be trusted to tell you that you have carbon monoxide in your blood. And that's the sad facts that have happened in the last 20 to 30 years.
All right, folks, go to GassingAmerica.com to learn more, or DanielInTheLionsDen.us to learn more. Thanks, guys. Quick pause. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable.
As you may know, Daniel Chapter 1 is defending our health freedoms against an out-of-control Federal Trade Commission. This agency is trying to bully Daniel Chapter 1 into censoring information on God-given natural cures. It is our duty as American citizens to restrain our government with the commanding chains of the Constitution. Visit DC1Freedoms.com today to learn more about this exciting and all-important fight. Let your voice be heard and consider joining other Americans in your most generous donation. Let us never forget John Adams' timeless words. The question before the human race is whether the God of nature shall govern the world by his own laws, or whether the priests and kings shall rule it by fictitious miracles. Make Mr. Adams proud. Visit DC1Freedoms.com today and be a part of history.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spammed because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me. All right, man, Kirk Crosby going to court everywhere, man. It's great. He got kicked out of court. We're waiting for the audio on that. Man, I want to play that as like little liners and stuff.
Yeah.
What did the guy say? Sir, I need you out. He just pointed right at you with his gavel.
I need that guy back there with that white striped shirt on out of here, you know, basically.
He said out of here?
Well, you know, that's what it... I mean,
I can put a soundbite echo on that out of here and make it like, out of here, like he's a big old, you know, judge, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, all right, I mean, at least to me, it was, I mean, I know that if you're going to say that the judge is the king, then I know that, you know, I would have been displeasing the king, you know. But my opinion is the key thing we got to remember here is America, and the point that I told you yesterday is that if we were really living in the land of the free and we had protected our freedoms, then I believe that my proper response after his actions would have been something like this. Judge, it's a shame that in America, a land founded upon freedom, a land where many people have fought and died for us to be able to live in freedom, that we are treated by those who should be our servants, our judges, our lawyers, our representative, that we are treated as if we, the people, are the servants and our employees are the kings and masters. And that's, you know, what I see when I see
this. So you're saying he treated like you were the servant and he was a king, and he should have been treating you as if you were the king and he was the servant.
Well,
saying,
we are,
hey, how can
employees.
I help you?
We are the employees, our employers.
Employers, yeah.
You know, we're the ones who are, you know, paying the taxes and all that. And yet, you know, you remember that little quote that we've got? It's on those little Constitution books. It basically says something like this: when the government fears the people, you have
tyranny.
Freedom.
Nope, when, tyranny. Oh, when the government fears the people, you have freedom.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yet when the people fear the government, is what you have is tyranny. So just ask yourself a simple question. What do we have? Are you afraid of your government? You know, and I'll tell you what, most people are, just like this little family that went in there. They were at the point where the judge, you know, I mean, if he had gone, and he certainly could have done it, he could have just basically put them, the mother and father, both in jail and taking that child. You know, that could have been an outcome there. And all I can say is when that is the case, no wonder people fear their government.
I will say thank heavens the light of day was on this thing, and thank heavens the family's intact together, the case is closed, and the healthy, happy Daniel is with his parents where I believe he belongs. Et cetera. That's good news. At least we had good news coming up with this case. Now, final tidbit, Kurt. You had your train issue where you basically went across the train tracks too close to a moving train, and therefore you violated things and you had to go to court. And give us really quick the final on that.
Well, the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're not caught up, is way back in, I don't know, it was like July, as I was, well, moving along, the highways and byways, I came to a stop sign just before a train track. I stopped at the stop sign. I looked down the track to my right and saw that there's a train coming. I don't think it was going more than maybe 10 or 15 miles per hour. There was plenty of room for me to be able to go by. I'm not one who, you know, I mean, even at an amusement park, I don't like to go on too dangerous of things. I'm not some guy who's trying to tempt death. And so I went ahead. And
there were no gates on this one, by the way.
Tracks. That's right. I crossed the tracks and felt like I was certainly safe and that it was okay. Well, just as I did it, behind me I see some little lights, you know, pulling me over. And the detective in what the city's called American Fork said that, by the way, maybe I didn't know about it, but I had broken a law, and the law was that if there's a train coming, it has to be 1,000 feet back. And to make a long story short, man, I asked a lot of people, and nobody, hardly anybody, unless I kind of pumped them with the idea, they didn't know that it would be 1,000 feet or more than 3 football fields for the train to be back.
And it didn't matter the speed of the train either.
Nope. So I was given an $82 ticket, not a warning, not a, you know, advisor. And the bottom line is,
hold on, then you had to pay extra money.
That's right. To have it taken off of my perfect driving record, I had to pay $100, and then the judge mercifully was so kind to let me off with $100.
So as long as they can raise enough money, they'll be kind to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about bucks with these bureaucrats. Look out, beware. Thanks, Kurt, for the update. Thanks to everyone for participating in the broadcast today. We appreciate all you. Archives are always at AudioCanyon.com and RepublicBroadcasting.org. The best live 24/7 radio, accentradio.com and republicbroadcasting.org. Email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you, Sam at audiocanyon.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, we can and indeed will restore our grand old republic, but you got to be active. You got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by Accent Radio Network, copyright 2008. To order a copy of the show, go online to accentradio.com.